When Kristen and I spoke earlier this week about the lessons for today and how I could frame this message for us this morning, I shared with her that I was nervous. I'm always nervous speaking in front of folks, though I don't mind being asked to do so. At least when I'm at camp and called on by the staff or campers to wrap up a day or the week, we're by the campfire and it's dark. Of course, that also means that I have to have a decent sense of where I might be going with what I'm trying to say, as it's too dark for my notes. All of that to say that if I sound a bit nervous or I lose my place this morning, I ask for your grace in advance. As I was preparing to share these thoughts with you, I found myself thinking that there were many ways we could approach this story. For me, there are two prominent things that stood out. The fact that Moses said no more than once, and the fact that God called him anyway, and he went, even unsure, wary, and really not wanting to, he went. When we talk about a vocation or a calling, we often think only about a call in the pastoral or prophet sense of the word. We tie it almost solely to the church. But I believe that each one of us is called, and most of us are called to more than one thing at the same time. And I believe that where we are called may also change over time. About the time I entered high school, I decided that what I wanted to do was to become a psychologist. I wanted to help children who didn't have the opportunities I did growing up, and who weren't surrounded by the love of a family like mine. So off I traipsed to college to study and set myself on my way to doing just that. I'm not sure that I would reference my decision as feeling called at that point, but I would have told you that this is what I needed to do. After graduation, I spent several years working in psychiatric hospitals and then changed my work to community settings. It was the time in the history of our field that people decided we would do better trying to help by meeting people where they were instead of having them come to the office. So we went to their homes and their schools and their workplaces. After about 15 years of doing this and adding another degree along the way, I found myself sitting down and trying to figure out why I was doing this work. There were many days and many families for whom making even the smallest change was difficult. I'd been approached one too many times in the projects asking if I was there to take a child away from their family or if I wanted to buy drugs. I had lost a few clients to suicide or overdose, and these were children. The families I worked with dealt with generations of mental illness and substance use. They lived on the edge of deep poverty, often needing our assistance to find food, pay for utilities, or even help with rent so that they had shelter. I'd been on call almost constantly for 9 years, and I was tired. I didn't know what I should be doing, but this didn't feel like it anymore. And then I got nervous. And here's some of the things I said to myself. This is what you've always wanted to do. Even when it's hard, we do make progress. What else do you know how to do? You can't just quit. How will you afford to live? What will my family think? Can you restart in a new career, really? What ran around in my head for several weeks, friends, was fear. And so I was making excuses to not have to deal with that fear. I knew this work was important, and by this time it did feel like a calling, but I no longer felt it was mine. In addition to these excuses, I kept myself very busy. Then the fear of having chosen the wrong vocation could be better kept at bay, I thought. I was active at church with council, choirs, and leading the youth group. I was a co-leader of a Girl Scout troop. I volunteered at a local food bank, and I served on a couple of professional committees with our trade association. If I ignored my fears and kept doing, perhaps it would all sort itself out. I was beginning to feel like I had failed. My family, my professors, my clients, my staff, and myself. It was not a happy or comfortable time, and I just wanted to put it out of my mind. And then, one morning during worship, it was like a light bulb went off. Perhaps not as bright as Moses's burning bush, but a light bulb never the same. Our anthem that morning was a beautiful rendition of Psalm 121, my very favorite psalm. And our closing hymn was On Eagle's Wings. It was like, poof, Erickson, you got to take this to God. And yes, I talked to myself using my last name. I don't know why, I just do. So there in the music was my light bulb. I needed to pray. And I needed to take comfort in knowing that just like Moses in today's reading, God was right there with me. A few weeks later, after taking some time at home one morning in devotion and trying to listen for God, I had an answer. If I didn't talk to people, no one could help me figure out what to do with this vocation of mine. And I didn't usually talk to people when I was worried or uncertain about something. But the joy of being involved in so many places meant that I had a lot of folks that I could talk to. And they were all likely to respond differently. And they did. The best conversations all centered around not producing answers or solutions, but asking me questions about why I felt I couldn't do this anymore and what seemed like it would be better suited. Powerful conversations that helped remove the fear that kept me stuck. To try and bring the story to a close, what happened next of significance was a phone call one March morning from the executive director of the trade association where I volunteered. Word had gotten to Ray that I was looking for something different. "Chris," he said, "I'm adding a position to the staff here. The children's arena has gotten too big for Lisa to do all of it by herself. Why don't you come in and let's talk about it?" As you might guess, that conversation turned into a new job and an alteration of my vocation, my call. My second degree was in community psychology, and frustration with my clinical work had been that there weren't enough resources to adequately help people, and the systems in which we worked were deeply flawed. I could help drive change to those in this new work, and at the same time, but from a different angle, continue to serve the children and families I care deeply about. My vocation was fluid, just as passionate, but altered by time, experience, and albeit slow at times to come, the convincing knowledge that I wasn't doing this alone. It was not only my family and friends and colleagues supporting my work, it was definitely God's hand. My story and my vocation have altered again even since that time, and I anticipate it will again many more times than I may feel comfortable with. And some of those alterations in ensuing years have also brought moments of fear about changing where I felt I was called. But as my professional work has stretched the boundaries I thought I could contribute to effectively, it has also changed. My work has become less about the I, and in the last 10 years, with one exception, I've been called to work as part of a team. I firmly believe that God sends those people to me just as he sent Aaron to Moses. We don't have to go about these things alone. And we must remember that God is really the one in charge, as my mama often says. So let's go back a bit to where I started and said that I believe we have more than one vocation, more than one call. My story was about my professional work over the decades. But I must tell you, it is not the only call I have felt, the only vocation I have pursued and am pursuing, and where I know God is calling me to be. I have a deep and abiding passion for the work of the church, for our call to serve one another and to serve the community around us. That manifests itself in a variety of ways as the years go by, whether it's serving on council or focusing on outreach or trying to allay fears that we aren't what we were. And no, we're not, but it's all okay. I feel a deep call to listen, just to listen, not to provide solutions, but to assure others that they are being heard and that their voice and their story is important. I feel a deep vocation to young people, and I trust you've gathered that from my story. I feel a deep need to serve my family, to keep us wrapped in God's love and living together to impact the world around us. So if you count those up today, I feel like at the moment, I have 5 vocations, each one of them important, and each one that forms part of my greater call in this world. I expect that these 2 might morph over time, and it will be interesting to see what comes next. I want to share another story with you. Most of you know that Mama and I spend many weeks at Rainbow Trail Lutheran Camp every summer, and something she and Papa did for decades together. Talk about combining vocations. I get the church and I get young people all at the same time. It fills my heart and makes me tired. During the summer month, Rainbow Trail staff grows from 7 people to 70. Our staff come from all over the country and bring so many gifts with them. They are young, and they seem even younger every year as I continue to age, but they are vibrant. One of the expectations of every staff member is that sometime during the course of the summer, they will share a SWIT, which is short for staff witness. Morning worship each day involves the staff member sharing their story, how they got to Rainbow Trail, where they might think they're being called in their lives, what challenges they might be facing and overcoming, what they might fear, what they are learning, and on and on. Some of these sharings are eloquent and some are halting. Some are confident and some are filled with questions. These are young people trying to put a structure around their vocation or even trying to figure out what it might be. The last week of summer is one of our favorites, as we get to share endless hours just being with staff, as there are a few campers on site. This year, due to unforeseen circumstances, the group of campers that were supposed to come did not. We had been alerted that the week might be canceled and had prepped for it, but it wasn't until moments, and I mean literally moments, after I'd finished our packing, that Dave let us know that the week wasn't going to happen. But, he then said, the staff need both of you, so please come anyway. We don't ever have to be asked twice to go to Rainbow Trail. So we headed up to camp a couple of morning laters and spent the week with staff. We played with them. We had long, long conversations about many things, including their calls. We worked alongside them to help close the camp for the season. We laughed together. We held them as the week closed and they tearfully departed from one another, some for their last week ever as staff on the mountain. And I felt again the strength of God's call to me in these ways. And I was able to hold and cherish and encourage theirs, knowing that some I would meet again and others who would be following God's call to new chapters in their lives, I might never have another chance to encounter. Most importantly, I knew that none of them were going out alone. They were leaving with deep and abiding friendships that they had formed, and they were leaving with God, a constant presence and identity to carry them through the days and years to come. It's been 40 years since I was on the staff at Rainbow Trail. Some of those friendships made then were some of the people I reached out to 15 years later, when I was stuck in the fear of no longer finding my call at work. I ask you as you reflect this week to think about Moses, to look at your own excuses when you make them and determine what is at the base of them, to find God again through prayer and relationship, to identify and honor your vocations as workers, parents, grandparents, volunteers, brothers and sisters, and children of God. And as you do, I challenge you to find God in everything that you do and everywhere you are and everyone who is with you. We have each been called to God's work, and we have been promised that we are never alone. God is our constant. The blessings that we have received through knowing God are the same blessings that we must carry out with our own hands together into this world. Amen.